Now, there's a very interesting chassid of the Alter Rebbe, and there are a lot of interesting, even funny stories that happen with him, and his name is Reb Shmuel Munkus. And these stories are not just stam funny stories, there's always a big chachmeh. Yeah, we already heard Taka 1. He was the one that the chassidim were for bringing, and there was going to be a fleishik, a meal, and they got very like nervous, and they started hopping for this flesh, and he started grabbing the flesh and ran with it. Remember the old story? Okay, there's some other stories I want to tell you. In fact, there's a few of them, and let's start these stories, because they're very interesting. Okay, who's listening? All right. One little story we'll start with that you maybe heard, but it's a very interesting story. And these stories, many times you hear a little bit different, but the main thing is always the same. Now, the Alter Rebbe said a mimer, which means he said Chassidus. And the Chassidim were listening to the mimer. Now, what do you think Chassidim are going to do after they hear a mimer from the Alter Rebbe? They're going to chazer it over and go over and over until they know the mimer. But that's not enough. What else are they going to do? They heard the mimer, they knew the words, they chazered it over, they know what the Alter Rebbe said. Now what is there to do with the mimer? Anything?
Say another mimer.
Say another mimer? Not yet. Is the main thing of a mimer to say a bunch of words, or you should learn Torah? Okay. Is learning Torah just knowing a bunch of words, or you should learn to do something? Is learning to do something easy, or you have to do something in order to learn what to do? Does it come automatically, or you have to do special things until you live and do what the Torah says? Okay. One of the big things, if you learn Chassidus, and you want to do what the Rebbe said to do, which is not always easy, is the Chassidim sit down and they farbrang. Like right now, this birthday party is like a farbrengen. Because we're eating and drinking and we're singing a few nigunim and we're in a good mood. But the main thing, we're hearing Torah and we're talking Torah and Chassidus. And then we make hachlatos toivos, like by a birthday party. And then that helps us, because we're all together, to do whatever the Chassidus says or the Torah says or whatever the Rebbe says, whatever new thing, or even an old thing that a person's not doing 100% yet. The Chassidim were for bringing. And they were making l'chaim. And they decided the main thing is that whatever they do, it should show they're a chassid of the Alter Rebbe. The way you walk is not just a regular person in the street, it's walking a chassid of the Alter Rebbe. The way you speak to somebody is not just speaking to a person. You're speaking the way a chassid should speak, according to the Torah, especially Chassidus. If you're eating, how do you eat? Just like a person eats, or like a chassid eats? Okay. If you're doing a favor for a person, you do it with Avos Yisrael, right? All kinds of ways that a person sees, ooh, there's a chassid of the Alter Rebbe, because everything he's doing is in a special halakha way. In other words, whatever you're doing, you should be a chassid of the Alter Rebbe, right? This is what the chassidim were for bringing at the farbrengen after they learned the mimer. And then they got very freilich and they started singing and dancing and got in a very good halakha mood. And then after the farbrengen, it wasn't enough. They say, let's go to the house of the Alter Rebbe. Now exactly what they're going to do there, the story doesn't say. Maybe they just wanted to be in front of the house to feel close to the Alter Rebbe. So they came now in front of the Alter Rebbe's house. Now, all of a sudden, by the fence, there was like a pole, you know, holding up the fence. And now, this is a Reb Shmuel story, because there's all kinds of funny things he does. He jumped up on the fence, he went up to the pole, and he hung upside down. Reb Shmuel is hanging from the pole. He's hanging upside down, like by his legs. He's just hanging there on a pole. Now, all the Chassidim knew that if Reb Shmuel is doing something, it's not just to make a joke, even though it's talk a joke and it's funny, but there's something to it, because Reb Shmuel was a clever man and a big chacham. And when he did funny things, it was always to teach something and that people should learn something, not just stop showing off or making stum empty jokes. There's two kind of jokes. There's chas v'shalom, just an empty joke, and then there's a joke that has something to it, a Torah thing to it. So the chassidim are saying, Reb Shmuel, what's going on? Why are you hanging upside down on the pole? So Reb Shmuel says, look, if you're walking down the street and you see a sign and there's a fish on it, what kind of a store is over there? Fish. The sign shows that over here is a fish store, right? Let's say you're walking down the street and you see a sign and it says, not it says, it's a picture, it's fruit. What does that show?
Fruit store.
A fruit store. I mean, the picture shows what's there. And if there's nothing there, it shows there's nothing there. If you're walking down the street and there's a picture of a scissors, what do you think is there?
Surprise.
Surprise?
Supplies.
Supplies, okay, it could be a scissors store. What else could it be?
Supplies.
Huh?
Sewing.
What about a tailor store? Yeah. Where they sew stuff and cut stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. So Reb Shmuel says, shh. Okay, a barber, yeah, they have a different kind of a sign. A pole with colors on it. I heard once why they have that. I don't know, I forgot why. There's some reason why they have like a pole with colors going around. That's a barber. I don't know what it's for. So in other words, in the fish store, what comes out of that store is fish. In a fruit store, what comes out of that store? Fruit. If there's a scissors, what comes out of that store? Tailoring stuff. It shows what you can get there. Okay? Now, this is the Alter Rebbe's house. So in other words, there has to be a sign. If this is the Alter Rebbe's house, what comes out from the Alter Rebbe's house? What? Chassidim. What's the Alter Rebbe's think? Just for himself or to make Chassidim? To make Chassidim. There has to be a sign that shows from the Alter Rebbe's house comes out Chassidim. We're supposed to be Chassidim. So I'm making a sign. Over here is Chassidim coming out. Okay, that's one story from Rebbe Shmuel Milkus. Now, a very short little story because we have to get going soon. This is a very interesting, good story if you listen. Rebbe Shmuel Milkus lived in a town called Beshenkovich. Is that right? Beshenkovitz. Okay, we have the right people over here to correct me. Beshenkovitz, right? Okay, that's good. Beshenkovitz. I'm saying it in the good mamalashin. Okay, Reb Shmuel lived in Beshenkovitz. Now, this was a town. And the Alter Rebbe, his Rebbe, lived in Liozna. All right? Liozna. Okay, now. This happened one time. Well, let's tell you what happened a lot of times. A lot of times, Reb Shmuel went from Beshenkovitz to Liozna to the Alter Rebbe. And he went for Yontiv, and he went for special times. But this time was a very different time, as you're going to see. We don't need the pops, please. Shh. One day, Reb Shmuel's wife says, Reb Shmuel, we need milk. Now, in those days, when you need milk, this is what you do. You don't go to the store and get a plastic bottle of milk because they had no plastic bottle of milk. What you do, you have to bring your own bottle because they're not going to give you a bottle because a bottle was worth something. And you go to the place to get the milk from the farmer. And of course, it's Chol of Yisrael and the farmer is watching the milking, or maybe he has extra milk. And he fills up the bottle. And then you bring the bottle home. You took your own bottle, and you bring back your own bottle full of milk. So Reb Shmuel's wife says, Reb Shmuel, we need milk. And she gives him the bottle. And Reb Shmuel takes the bottle, takes some money, and he goes out of the house, and he's going down the street carrying the bottle. All of a sudden, now, when Reb Shmuel, who is a Talmud Chacham, if he's walking down the street, what do you think he's thinking about birdies and bottles of milk? He's thinking Torah, especially, as I said, he's a chassid of the Alter Rebbe, he's thinking chassidus. And Reb Shmuel, when he's thinking chassidus, is thinking very deeply, and he's thinking of a question, and he's thinking of an answer, and an explanation. But now, when he's walking down the street with a bottle, he thought of a new question that he never thought about, and he tries to think about an answer, but he doesn't get an answer. So he's walking down the street thinking the question, and he gets more and more thinking. When he completely forgot about what he's supposed to do, and he decided he's got to find out the answer to his question. He could not stand to find a good question and without an answer, because he was really serious about learning Torah. So what did he do? He kept on walking, and he thought to himself, I will go to Liazna to the Alter Rebbe to find out the answer to my question. So he's walking down the street, and he leaves Beshenkovich, and he's walking all the way through the forests and through the fields and over the bridges, carrying the bottle. And he's walking all the way to Liazna, to the Alter Rebbe, and so fast you don't get to see the Alter Rebbe. And he started asking the different Hasidim the question. They didn't know. And they said, maybe the Alter Rebbe will give an answer in Yechidus, or maybe you'll hear a Maimer Hasidus and hear the answer. And so Reb Shmuel, he stays over there a few weeks. Finally, Reb Shmuel gets the answer. Exactly how it doesn't say. Maybe he heard from the Alter Rebbe directly, maybe in Yechidus. And then it's time to go home. He goes to wherever he was staying. All he brought was a bottle. And now he has an empty bottle. And he goes back and he's carrying now the empty bottle. This is a few weeks later. He gets back to Beshenkovich and he looks in his hand. He says, wait a minute. Oi, now I remember. Why am I carrying this empty bottle? My wife sent me for milk and I did not get the milk yet. He goes to the place to get the milk. Now he's got a full bottle of milk. He says, oi, Gaval, my wife is waiting for all this time for the milk. And he's running home. He runs home. He runs into his house. Of course, this is a few weeks later. And he goes on the top step. He almost gets in his house. He trips and he falls. And the bottle breaks. And his I don't know if it's funny or not. And his wife is watching. And Reb Shmuel gets up, he says, you see, a person shouldn't rush. Because if you rush, something not good might happen. I shouldn't have rushed back. Like we had before, the boys carrying the chair, and we said, don't rush, go slowly. Reb Shmuel says, see, it doesn't pay to rush. You should go slow. When you rush, something happens. Okay. We have to now make a brain and fast race. And we have to get going. The next story could be a little scary because there are two witches, or actually three witches in the story. If it's two witches or three, this we will see. Sit down quietly and listen. And if you're scared, shh. If you're scared, put your hands over your ears and don't listen if you're scared of witches. This is what happened. In the town near Beshenkovich, there was a place called Polotsk. And in Polotsk, in this area, was a dumpy old house. And in this house lived two witches. And these were not just regular witches, they were very, very bad witches. And they made witch stuff, and they made trouble And especially, unfortunately, they like to pick on Jews to make witches' tricks on Jews. Now, if these tricks worked or not, it's a big shaila because, you know, the Eibishter is in charge of all the koiches and all the powers and all the things. So after all, why should a Jew be afraid of a witch? But we find a very interesting thing by the Alter Rebbe. The Alter Rebbe, we know, of course, a little bit, how great a tzaddik he was. Of course, most of his greatness we'll never know, because that's the way a tzaddik is. We only see the tip of the iceberg. But the Alter Rebbe himself ran away from a witch, because that witch was trying to get the Alter Rebbe to chas v'shalom put his witch's curse on him. You know who that witch was? Which witch was that? Which witch was that? Do you know which witch? His name was Napoleon. Not only he was a general of France and a big emperor, he was a witch. So we see that even though the Eibishter is in charge of all these kinds of things, even somebody like the Alter Rebbe didn't want to have anything to do with a witch. And in fact, he had to escape and he had to set fire to his house and burn up everything and not leave anything behind. Because if a witch gets something that belongs to you, like a shoe or a shirt or something, whatever you have, and they hold on to it, you got to watch out. That's why he burned everything, that there should be nothing left but ashes. And the witch is not going to have too much to do over there if everything is burned up. And these two witches in Polotsk near Beshenkovich were real troublemakers. And unfortunately, one of the jokes and tricks they like to do was they find a Yid walking on the road, and all of a sudden the two witches come up to the Yid, and the Yid sees the two witches and he says, "Uh-oh, I am alone on the road with these two witches. I wish I wasn't here with these two witches, but I am. I wonder what they're going to do to me." Well, they had a mean trick. And they would say, "Hey, the two witches of Polotsk are here. And also are you, unfortunately for you. Well, there's one way that we will not make our tricks now. Otherwise, we will make our tricks. There's one way we will not make our tricks on you. Otherwise, we're going to make our tricks on you. Because that's what we do. We make our tricks, especially on you." They say, "Take off your yarmulke." And of course, the Yid would not want to take off his yarmulke. Chas v'shalom, if somebody comes to you and says, "Take off your yarmulke," you're going to take off your yarmulke?
No.
You're going to be afraid of a person and take off your yarmulke?
No.
No way. Nobody tells you to take off your yarmulke. You keep on your yarmulke. It's a sign that you have Hashem right above you and close to you. And these witches, only if the Yid would take off his yarmulke, they wouldn't do their witch stuff. But if he'd leave on his yarmulke, they would start up with him. And they liked, unfortunately, to scare people, especially Yidden. They're such schlechte people in the world. They get a pleasure out of doing mean things. Well, Mirz Hashem, tomorrow, if it's quiet in the lunchroom, we will continue with a very interesting story of the two witches, or the three. The witches are on the road. One day, the witches of Polotsk, the two witches, they go out of their dumpy witch house, and they're walking on the road. They say, "Let's make trouble today for Jews. Let's find somebody and let's make him take off his yarmulke. or let's make some kind of a witch stuff with our wands and our magic crystal balls and our magic potions that we mix from different ingredients. Witches' ingredients. Exactly which ingredients, I don't know, but you know, they put different things and mix it together. It starts boiling and steaming and smoking and green and purple and smelling funny. And the witches are going on the road near Beshenkovich. And all of a sudden, they see some kind of a hotel. And in front of the hotel are a lot of Jews, a lot of Yidden. And inside the hotel, through the windows, they see a lot of Jews. And the witches say, oh, we're lucky today. This must be our lucky day. Because not only we have one Jew we can make trouble for, but a lot of Jews. A whole group of Jews. Look at how many Jews. Let's go and make trouble for them. They'll be afraid of us. Because all Jews are afraid of us. And all of a sudden, boys, they go towards this hotel. Now, in that hotel was a Yiddish simcha, some kind of a happy thing going on, a bris milah, or a bar mitzvah, or some kind of a special thing going on in that hotel, or maybe a sheva brachas or something like that. And Yidden were in the hotel making l'chaim, and singing the gunim, and saying mazel tov. And all of a sudden, somebody looks out the window. Ah, the two witches of Polotsk are coming down the road. And they have that funny smile on their faces. And they're laughing, which means they're going to make trouble. And Kenelach, all of a sudden, the two witches come right into the hotel in front of everybody. And they say, ha ha. Okay, start taking off your yarmulkes, or we're going to make a big mess out of this party. And we're going to make trouble for everybody. And they see that a lot of Jews are afraid of them. All of a sudden somebody speaks up. He says, there is one Yid here who's not afraid of you at all. And the witches say, impossible. Everyone's afraid of us. And all of a sudden they see a Jew laughing. Hey, who's laughing at us? We're laughing at you. And a Yid's laughing at them. And he says, I'm not afraid of you. Who are you? My name is Reb Shmuel. Who are you? We are the witches of Polotsk. And who are you again? I'm Reb Shmuel the witch, Munkus. A bigger witch than you. And the witches say, a witch? You? Reb Shmuel says, you're witches? Heh! You don't look like witches. You're nothing, not compared to me. And the witches get upset. Nobody ever spoke against them before. And they say, you just watch what we could do. And they start doing their witches' tricks and making things, all kinds of things fly around and do all kinds of stuff. And Reb Shmuel says, this is nothing, not compared to what I could do. And the witches say, okay, we challenge you to a witch contest. Reb Shmuel says, you'll lose the contest. The witches say, we never lost the contest. Reb Shmuel says, today you're going to lose the contest and I'm going to win. Maybe you better leave before it's too late for you. Because you don't know what Reb Shmuel the witch could do. Shh. And the witches are not used to this. They say, okay, bring us a bottle of kosher whiskey. And they bring a bottle of whiskey that a Yid would drink. Of course, it was by a Jewish simcha, so everything was kosher. And the witches say, pour out into this glass, and they take a glass, pour out whiskey. Somebody pours out whiskey into the glass. The witches walk over to somebody and they say, drink this whiskey a little bit, only a little bit, to show that it's regular whiskey now. Well, this man was afraid of the witches. He took the whiskey. He quietly made a bracha shahakoyel. And he drank a little sip of the whiskey and he says, this is regular whiskey. And the witches say, okay. Pretty soon, this is not going to be regular whiskey. It's going to be witch whiskey. We are going to take this whiskey and make our strongest curse. And then you, Reb Shmuel the witch, will have to drink the whiskey down. If you live, which you won't, let's speak about the other way first. Why should we waste our time? If you die, it means you have no power and you're nothing and you're not a witch, not even a little witch, you're nothing. But if you live, well, you're a pretty lucky man because nobody ever lived after drinking our witch whiskey before. And Reb Shmuel laughs. He says, you think I'm going to agree to a contest like this? Such a contest? This is nothing. Ah, you're afraid to drink the whiskey. Reb Shmuel says, no, I'm not afraid. You can do whatever you want. I'll drink the whiskey. But after I get done drinking the whiskey, and I have a nice drink of whiskey, and I feel good and I'm alive, what about you? I will pour you a glass of whiskey, and you have to drink my whiskey. Reb Shmuel drinks your whiskey, and you drink Reb Shmuel's whiskey afterwards. And the witches say, they're getting a little bit nervous. Well, okay, we will drink your whiskey, but of course, you will not be able to pour us your whiskey if you're going to be laying on the floor dead. Reb Shmuel said, let's just go and see. The witches take the glass of whiskey and they say, everybody move away. Don't get close to us. No, we'll go in the corner. You could watch. We're not going to put anything in the whiskey. We're just going to make our curses on the whiskey. They go and put the whiskey down on a little table in the corner. They take out their magic wands and they start waving it over the whiskey and saying magic words. Then they take out the crystal balls and start saying all kinds of weird words on the magic balls. And they start to dance around, you know, witch dances around the whiskey, and they start singing their songs and saying their stuff. And they make with their hands over the whiskey, all these ways they make with their hands. And then they carefully pick up the whiskey and they're carrying it. Hey, see, we didn't put anything. We didn't put any snake poison or lizard poison or anything. We just put our curses. Now you have to drink it. Prepare to die. And nobody will ever make fun of us witches again. Reb Shmuel takes the whiskey. And he sits down. He's already getting weak from it. Reb Shmuel says, no, I'm getting ready to make a bracha. When I make a bracha, I sit down. Yeah, what's a bracha? What's that? You just wait and see what's that. I'm thinking Hashem that I'm going to have a nice drink of whiskey. And with great kavana, with great concentration, Reb Shmuel says, Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech ha'olam Shehakoyel nihiya bidvaroi. And the Yidden say, Amen. And he drinks the whiskey. And the witches are watching him with a big smile on their face, ready to see him fall off of his chair. And Reb Shmuel smiles. Ah, that's good. Not bad whiskey. Very good. Okay, bring me 2 glasses. And the witches are watching. Their eyes are popping out of their head. The black hats are almost spinning around on their heads. They can't believe their eyes. Reb Shmuel is alive. And he's smiling. And nothing at all happened to him. Well, we better go. Actually, we have an appointment. And we have to go. We're kind of late. See you later. Nope. The Jews block the door. The witches can't leave. You have to keep your part of the deal. Or else you're scaredy cats. No, we're not scaredy cats. Okay. You want to sit? You want to stand? Whatever you want. Bring 2 glasses. And Reb Shmuel is going to now pour the whiskey. And Reb Shmuel pours 2 glasses of whiskey, 1 for each witch. Okay, which witch is first? Hey, you go first. No, you go first. Oh, well, I want you to do it at the same time. Okay.